Welcome to Front Page Jerusalem, a weekly news digest covering events in Israel. It's relevant and accurate information you need to know, direct from the Holy Land. You're listening to Front Page Jerusalem.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Front Page Jerusalem, the voice of Israel to the world, brought to you by Christian Friends of Israel in the city of the great king, Jerusalem. I'm Earl Cox.
And I'm Kevin Howard in Jerusalem.
When headlines arise concerning terrorism in Israel, many times they are associated with conflict at the Temple Mount location in the Jerusalem's Old City. The location of two Jewish temples in the times of King Solomon and King Herod during the life of Jesus. The Temple Mount location is the holiest site for Jews, and many are waiting for the building of a new third temple in the foreseeable future. The temple location is also vitally important to Christianity as well as to Islam due to the mosque that currently resides there. To understand more about the historical Temple Mount's significance today, Kevin Howard asked Doron Kidar, the executive director of Cry for Zion, to address that topic for an international audience from a multitude of nations attending this year's Christian Friends of Israel conference in Jerusalem. We'll bring you that fascinating message in just a moment, but first, let's hear from the CFI Jerusalem News Desk, where David Milburn has the recent headlines from Israel. David?
Thanks, Earl. Less than 3 months after U.S. President recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, the cabinet on Sunday started the bureaucratic ball rolling towards establishing a new community on the Golan Heights called Ramat Trump, or Trump Heights. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who pushed to name the settlement after Trump in appreciation of his recognition of Israel's sovereignty over the Golan and his strong support for Israel. Netanyahu said, "We are proud to have the opportunity to establish a new community and also to honor a good friend." In addition to recognizing Israeli sovereignty over the Golan and Jerusalem as Israel's capital, Netanyahu also mentioned as reason for appreciation Trump's withdrawal from the Iranian nuclear deal. Trump responded to the gesture on Twitter, thanking Netanyahu and the State of Israel for this great honor. Before we return to Earl, here's today's This Page in History.
On August 27, 1892, the first test run of the express rail from Jerusalem to Tel Aviv was completed when the first passenger train belonging to the Jaffa-Jerusalem Railway arrived. The Jewish Chronicle wrote, "The year will witness one of the grandest sights that have been known in many centuries. May it prove an unmixed blessing." It was the first modern railway line to open in the Middle East and was built in response to the increasing demand of all the pilgrims who began visiting the Holy Land. In writing about the history of the railroad, Anthony Travis notes that building the railway was a tremendously ambitious undertaking, so much so that it was a wonder that all the materials for the railway were safely and without loss conveyed to their destination. Years later, Herzl himself took the train on the way to meet Kaiser Wilhelm, but was not very impressed, calling the line a miserable little railway. The coaches did not have ashtrays, toilet facilities, and not even drinking water. However, as an avid fan of technology, Herzl expressed his belief in the future of rail travel in Israel when he predicted that there would be a high-speed electric railway throughout the land. His prediction will enter a new chapter in coming months when the high-speed rail from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem is available to patrons.
Welcome back, everybody. Kevin Howard brings us fresh insight into understanding the significance of the historical Temple Mount located in the heart of Jerusalem's Old City from Doron Kidar, who recently spoke at the 2019 Christian Friends of Israel Conference in Jerusalem.
Thanks, Earl. This year's Christian Friends of Israel Conference in Jerusalem was held during the biblical Feast of Shavuot, also known to many as the Feast of Pentecost, and was entitled Celebrating the Revelation. As you mentioned, Doron Kidar, the executive director of Cry for Zion, addressed an international audience when they gathered together in Jerusalem. Here's his eye-opening message on the historical Temple Mount today.
How many are excited to be in Jerusalem during Shavuot, the feast of what you guys call Pentecost? And I say you guys because that's not the biblical term. Did you know that the biblical term of the Feast of Pentecost is actually Shavuot, or Feast of Weeks, right? Which is translated in the English Bibles, and I don't know what it is in Mandarin or in the other translations that are here this morning. But the Hebrew terms is the origin. It's where the people of the nations have received the message from Jerusalem. So I'm going to try to give this morning a Hebrew perspective, right, and help you and the nations to better understand, for example, Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost. Are there any Pentecostals here this morning? Yeah. And so have you ever thought about how funny it is to say that you're a Pentecostal? You know, I ask people in the nations because, remember, I understand the Hebrew wording of things. And so when I hear people say I'm a Pentecostal, then I interpret it reverse translated back to the Hebrew. And basically, if you were in Israel, you would be saying, I am a 50. Are you part of the 50? I'm a 50. Are you part of the 50? Because Penta, right, it's from 50, right? And so anyhow, that's a little Pentecostal joke on you, so to speak. So, but Shavuot is where you get the term Pentecost and where Pentecostals get their name. And so what's so significant about the Feast of Shavuot? Well, a lot of things, actually. Shavuot is actually one of the most important feasts in the Jewish calendar. How many of you knew that? It's one of the three big ones, as we say, you know, the three majors, yeah? And so Shavuot is one of the major feasts in the Jewish world. If you're a Jew living in France, if you're a Jew living in New York, which is many these days, if there's a, you know, if you come from any of these nations, you live outside of the land, then guess what? During Shavuot, you're actually commanded to make Aliyah LaRegel, to come to Jerusalem and celebrate the feast. So it's one of the majors. So three times out of the year, if you're a Jew living in the nations, you have to come to Jerusalem. And if you're living in Israel, you still have to come to Jerusalem. And that's why we call it Aliyah LaRegel. Because by the way, Jerusalem, in contrast to any other capital in the world, you actually go up to it. So technically, you might be coming from the mountains of Switzerland, right? And you're way more elevated than Jerusalem. But when you come to Jerusalem, you go up to Jerusalem. You're not going down. Because Jerusalem is also not just a physical place, but it's a spiritual place. And if you don't understand that, then you're actually missing the big picture. And so I'm going to have to, in a very short time, help give you the big picture, yeah? The importance, the beef of those points that I just made. So you always go up to Jerusalem. You never go down. And that's why we have the term Aliyah, which is the Jewish return to the land of Israel. The Jews who have returned from the nations, they make Aliyah. They go up. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter if you come from, you know, Tibet, right? Up in the mountains, you're going up to Jerusalem, making your return to the land of Israel. So even the term Aliyah, the return to the land, is connected with Jerusalem. The term Zionism. You ever heard that term before? Are there any Christian Zionists here? You know why there are Christian Zionists here this morning? Because there were Christian Zionists who were not popular back in the 1800s. In fact, based on my research, as early as the 1500s, there was a man put to the stake, burnt alive, because the church at that time did not have that vision of the oppressed Jew being returned to his land and going to have his own autonomy. Can you imagine that? And so during that time, it was not popular to call themselves Christian Zionists. And the term, by the way, Zionist, right? It comes from Zion. So Zionism, right, without Zion is pointless. It's dead. So what I'll do this morning, besides talking about Shavuot, is I'm going to be talking about the Temple Mount, which is the very heart of Zionism. And unfortunately, for most of you who call yourselves Christian Zionists, you don't even have that understanding, ironically. Are you with me? I know your brains are trying to wake up and understand what on earth I'm talking about. Forgive me for my American English. So for those coming from England, you might have a hard time understanding me, maybe. Might be using slightly different terminology. I know the Americans butchered your English. But what can I do? That's the English I learned. I can speak in with the Israeli accent, if that helps you. But that's what I learned when I grew up here in Israel. What can I do? Cry for Zion does, or as the founder of Cry for Zion, is that we educate Christians about the Temple Mount, the importance of the Temple Mount. And let me just say this, being one who has worked in the security sector for many years now, both with the Israeli government and also as far as today, I work in the private sector. And we do security for all kinds of delegations, movie stars, all that kind of fun stuff and boring stuff as well. I know people, you know, have these fantasized movies of the bodyguard. It's not as glamorous as you think. And at any rate, so in my work in the security sector, what we get to do is see front line, on the very front line, what you read about in papers all over the world. These negotiations, these summits, these meetings. We also get to see, of course, the conflict of the Islamic terrorism and so on, front line. In fact, this Friday, with some of the, I can't go into details, but basically I help work security in the Old City. And so this Friday I actually was on a security work and got to firsthand witness the terrorist attack that took place outside the Jaffa Gate, Damascus Gate. He ended up running towards the Jaffa Gate and got stopped by the Israeli police, thank God. And so, I mean, to me, these issues are very fresh. Unfortunately, I get to witness both the bad and the good of what this city has to offer. Because you need to understand, like I said before, if you don't understand the spirituality of Jerusalem, the spiritual conflict that takes place here, then you're missing the big picture. Many of the international media, and thank God, Mr. Chris Mitchell will be here this morning right after me. He'll actually give you the not fake news. And I'm very thankful for people like him that report frontline the truth of what's happening here in Israel. But other than media sources like theirs, you're going to get a lot of the conflict, the terrorism, Israel's bad, and all these different things. For example, they said when they reported about the terrorist attack, one of the, I think it was the Daily Mail in England, wrote that because of Jewish rioters, you know, whatever violence broke out and so on. And that's not true. What happened on Friday was that the Muslims were going to the Temple Mount, which was closed off to any visitors except for Muslims. And the Israeli police actually does a lot of overtime. They bring police officers from all over the country in order to accommodate the Muslim worshipers and to give them free access to the Temple Mount. And so there was no barring of the Muslims and or creating a conflict with the Muslims, which then is what led to the terrorist attack. But the foreign media is going to give you a different picture and say that the Jews were the ones who instigated the violence, and that's why this poor gentleman just, you know, out of pure frustration and oppression, went out and started stabbing people, right? It wasn't that he stabbed an innocent 50-year-old Jewish man, which, by the way, is a religious Jewish man, because I saw him with my own eyes. Those are the victims. They go after religious Jews. And why is that? Because it's a spiritual battle, guys. It's not because of race. It's not because of, per se, religion. It's spiritual.
And praying for the peace of Jerusalem, we need to consider the spiritual importance of the Temple Mount, especially as it relates to the prophetic coming of the Messiah. Well, right now we need to take a short break so that you can hear about an important and an amazing outreach project of Christian Friends of Israel that's making a tremendous difference in the lives of some very special people in the land of Israel today.
A few years ago, Lisa's brother, Vlad, moved to Israel. He had cancer. and the doctors gave him only 2 months to live. But with the help of food, good medicine, and prayer, Vlad survived in Israel for another 2 years. However, while taking care of her brother, Lisa could not go to work. She received a small amount of support from the state, and it was not enough. That is when Christian Friends of Israel Jerusalem stepped up to help. CFI not only gave food vouchers, clothes, and other needed items, but we visited Lisa's home many times and helped her family members get to the doctor. This was God's support to have Christian friends during their time of trouble. Hi, my name is Karen Toon, and I am the coordinator for CFI Jerusalem's project Open Gates. Today there are many Lisas in Israel who often arrive here with little more than the clothes on their back. Yet, for 3 decades, CFI has been able to help more than 250,000 new Jewish immigrants settle in their biblical homeland. And like Lisa, these new Israelis are very thankful to CFI for all the help they have received over the years. Lisa recently shared with me, "I know many dear people who have been volunteering in CFI. Some have also become friends. The support that I get from you is very important because I am physically weak and very sick. It helps me survive."
Christian Friends of Israel's project, Open Gates. Just one more way we're making a difference in Israel, one life at a time. For more information, go to frontpagejerusalem.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Let's return to Doron Kedar's message on the historical Temple Mount today, which he delivered to an international audience from multiple nations attending this year's Christian Friends of Israel conference in Jerusalem.
The Jewish people in the nations, as we've been throughout the 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years of exile, we've tried to be like the nations. We tried to be religious and exclusive from the, or excluding ourselves from the nations, living in tight-knit communities. We've tried it all, and no matter what we've done, no matter what the nation that we were in, we were persecuted. So anti-Semitism is something that can't be explained. And like I said, unless you understand the spiritual battle that goes on. And so what is so charged when it comes to the Temple Mount? Why is it that in, I think it was 2017, we had the Knife Uprising or the Al-Aqsa Uprising, okay? It was connected, they connected the reasoning behind their terrorist attacks, the rise in terrorist attacks to the Temple Mount, to the Al-Aqsa, to the danger of the Al-Aqsa, the danger of it being occupied by Jews. So much so that the in the propaganda that's fed to mostly the Palestinians by their leadership, who say that it's the filthy feet of the Jews that are contaminating the Temple Mount. Now, where do they get this from? Like I said, it's a spiritual battle, because in the Quran, there's nothing about that. There's nothing about Jews contaminating or destroying the Holy Land in their minds, so to speak. In fact, I had a Muslim friend of mine explain to me once. He said, "Did you know that according to the Islamic tradition, it says that the Jewish people will return to, specifically to Jerusalem, and that we, the Muslims, are obligated to help them to their return? It's part of the prophetic end time vision that they have." And I thought, that's interesting. I wonder why they don't preach that in many of the mosques in Israel today, and definitely not up on the Temple Mount. So like I said, it's a spiritual struggle that's happening. It's not necessarily something that you can concretely find in either in the Islamic teachings and scriptures, although there is definitely a place for interpretation there as well. And if you want to understand what this struggle is all about, well, you're going to have to go to the source. You're going to have to go to the source. And for me, the source of truth in this world is not the BBC. It's not CNN. It's not any of these. It's not Donald Trump. It's not Benjamin Netanyahu. It's not the Israeli Mossad. Okay? It doesn't matter where you're trying to glean your truth from. The only source of truth on planet Earth is the Word of God. And the Word of God was given to us in a very powerful way on Mount Sinai. When the children of Israel were at the foot of Mount Sinai, this is where God poured out his spirit and gave his revelation and revealed to us, Israel, / to the nations, his holy word. And the way God revealed to us his word was in very specific language. And when you see that specific language, then you're going to also understand how to say, it's like breadcrumbs, right? I don't know, there's different nations here, so you have different understandings of sayings and stuff. So maybe the interpreters can help. But you know, when you follow the breadcrumbs, right, so-called, it leads you to what you're looking for. And so in Scripture, there are specific words that are used, especially if you're reading the Hebrew Tanakh. You have to go to the original. I know that many of you who speak other languages, you find Hebrew to be very difficult. But let me tell you a little bit about the Word of God. You will never fully understand the revelation of God unless you read the original and understand it. You hear me? Because you will always be handicapped if you're reading a translation. Right? Because not everything can be translated. And definitely not the Hebrew. The Hebrew thought, the Hebrew language is not something that can be translated perfectly into other languages. So if you want to study the Word of God and you want to get to the meat of what you're looking for, you're actually going to have to go to the original. And so that's what I'm going to try to do this morning, is draw out some of those key phrases and wordings that really emphasize what God wanted to emphasize at Mount Sinai. So we know that at Mount Sinai it says, well, I'm going to read to you the summary in Deuteronomy chapter 4, if you have your Bibles or you have your little digital sources. You can go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting in verse 9. And I'll be reading through 14. This is Moses summarizing what took place at Mount Sinai. And this is also, I'm specifically reading the summary because you say, why don't you just read about what happened at Mount Sinai? Because in this, what I'm going to read right now is an important message that Moses wanted to leave the children of Israel with, which hopefully I can leave you with this message as well. It says, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. This is very, very important. The message at Sinai was not supposed to die with those, with that generation. That's why the Jewish people are who we are today. Because we are a people who keep covenant. We're a people who transmit the message from ourselves to our children and to our children's children. And that is really what has kept the people of Israel to this day, is the Word of God and the transmitting of that message throughout the generations. And this is something, by the way, this is the main reason, in my opinion, why the West is falling apart. Nations that were founded on Christian values, where you had the Spirit of God poured out on those nations, where you had revivals take place, are now dead. They're spiritually dark places. And that's because, in my opinion, when the Spirit was poured out on that if there was a move of God or you know, that took place, then they kind of kept it for themselves. They didn't think about, we need to transmit this to future generations. Because that move and that impact was not for just you. You had to transmit it to the future generations or else it dies with you. And that's what you have in Europe today. People of faith are afraid to speak out the truth. That's where we've come to. And that's sad. So it's very important, that first verse here that I read for you. And so he says, you are to transmit the, and what are you to transmit? Verse 10 now. How on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, The Lord said to me, gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth. Which, by the way, the Hebrew phrasing is Yir'at Hashem. Yir'ah. That's a very important phrase. Like I said, the Hebrew, you have to go to the original. When you hear the word fear or fear the Lord, what comes to your mind? It's actually to revere, like you revere your father. You're not afraid in a healthy relationship. You're not afraid that your father is going to beat you when you do wrong, right? Your father's not going to annihilate you because you sinned, you did wrong. And so you slowly learn to have reverence for your parents, to heed their words.
Thanks, Kevin, for that inspiring message from Doron Kidar about the situations concerning the historical Temple Mount and how they apply today, even with the constant struggles and the current status quo. Well, our time is almost up for this week, but before we go, let's take another visit to the CFI Jerusalem News Desk with David Milburn. David?
Thanks again, Earl. The trigger for Israel's unprecedented repeat election touches on one of the major fault lines in Israeli society, the role of the growing ultra-Orthodox Jewish community in modern life. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's prospective government recently collapsed over the issue of military draft exemptions for ultra-Orthodox men, a source of long-time resentment among the secular majority of Jewish Israelis who are required to serve. The conflict over the draft law is just one of several deep disagreements over the role of religion in Israeli society. While the ultra-Orthodox parties wield significant political influence, experts say that their cloistered communities are being left behind by modern society, with long-lasting negative consequences for the future of the country.
Thanks, David. Well, that's our show for today. We hope that you've enjoyed the program, everybody, and don't forget to continue praying for the peace of Jerusalem and all of those in Israel. And let me invite you to join us again next week right here as we bring you the very latest news from Israel and the Middle East. And please don't forget to support this station because it supports Israel. So for now, on behalf of the entire staff of Front Page Jerusalem, I'm Earl Cox reminding you that because God loves Israel, I do too.
You've been listening to Front Page Jerusalem. For more information, go to frontpagejerusalem.com. Front Page Jerusalem is brought to you by Christian Friends of Israel Jerusalem, making a difference in Israel one life at a time. Front Page Jerusalem is a production of Level E Media Incorporated.